Mi'ilah, Chapter 4, Mishnahs 4 and 5. Some background to Mishnah 4 is that we will now be dealing with another aspect of Pigul and Osar, namely that they have the ability to render the hands of one who touches them tamei, but not on the biblical level, rather on the rabbinic level. And the reason for this is that the rabbis wish to discourage basically unscrupulous kohanim from specifically or intentionally disqualifying an animal through pigul, and therefore telling them if they touch it, their hands will become tamei, or from kohanim not being quick enough to eat the food by telling them, you better be careful, if you're not quick enough to eat the karbon, your hands will become tamei by touching it. So the Mishnah begins, ha-pigul v'hanosar ein mitstarfin zeh im zeh ibnem shehem shnei shemos. Okay. So, literally translate, it says the pigul and osar do not combine with each other to form the minimum amount of tumah for the tumah of the hands, because they are two distinct names. So this is a little bit of a chiddush, of a new point here, because in the previous Mishnah we studied that when items have the same laws of tumah, they do combine. So pigul and osar, when it comes to the tumah yadayim, to make your hands impure, they actually have the same rules. So one would have thought, if you have a little bit less than the amount of pigul, a little bit less than the amount of nosar, but you're touching them at the same time, and when they combine, they're more than the proper amount for tumah, you would be tumah. So this Mishnah is telling us they're not, and it's because they're two different names. What does it mean they're two different names? It means they're two different prohibitions. Mishnah continues, ha sheretz v'hanevela v'chein hanevela u'baser hames. So a sheretz, a creepy crawly, and nevela, an animal that died without the benefit of shechita, as well as a nevela, an animal that died without the benefit of shechita, and the flesh of a human corpse, emitzarfin zeimze l'tamei. These do not combine with each other transmitumah. So that is what we know that because they actually have different rules of tumah. We know that from the previous Mishnah, but this is coming to teach us afilu chakal shebishneihem. Even if you're dealing in the most lenient cases of both of them, they still don't. So what does that mean? So, for example, when it comes to a sheretz, you need only a lentil's volume, and an avela, you need an olive's volume to transmit tumah. So one might have thought that if you have a little bit of a sheretz and a little bit of a nevela, and together they combine to an olive's volume, which is more than the lentil's volume of the sheretz, then one might have thought in that case, because you're dealing on the higher level of the nevela, that you could combine them. So this Mishnah is teaching us you can't combine them for anything, neither for the lenient cases nor the stringent cases. Mishnah continues, ha'ochel shenitma va'av hatoma. So food that contracted tumah from an avatumah. An avatumah is something that itself is tameh, literally a primary source of a tumah. Some examples would be a dead sheretz, a dead creepy crawly, a nevela, or a zav. So food that touched one of those items, ve shenitma bivlada tumah, or food that didn't touch one of those items directly, but touched something that touched one of those items, in that case, food that touched the primary source and food that touched a first source, a derived source of tumah, can combine with each other to compromise an egg volume of tumah food needed to transmit tumah, but they will, when they're combining like that, they will only transmit it at the more lenient of the two. So essentially, when you have the primary, then if you touch it, it's the first. And if you touch the first, it's the second degree. And if you touch the second degree, it's the third degree. Since in our case, the first food is what would be first degree, and the second item would be second degree. Therefore, if you combine the first degree and the second degree to get to the egg's volume, something that then touches that would only be what's called third degree of tumah. That's the end of Mishnah 4. Mishnah 5. Kol ha'ochlen mitstarfin lefsot ha'gviya v'kechatzi fras. So this is a rabbinic rule that the rabbis decreed that if one eats tummy food in the amount of half a pras, his body becomes tummy and disqualified from eating teruma until he immerses himself in the mikvah. So basically this amount of half a pras is between 1.5 egg volumes and 2, depending on a machlokes. So all foods would combine to get to that amount of half a pras in order to disqualify your body from eating teruma. Okay, B'mazon shtei sudos l'iruv. So there's a principle of Erev Techumim, which essentially is just a little background here, is that both on Shabbat or the Sabbath or festivals, a person is forbidden to travel more than 2,000 amos, which is somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 feet from the place he has established. Generally speaking, so you're within a town, it may be different, so it would be the border of the town when you're a town. However, the halacha is if you are at an edge of a town or an edge of like a wilderness, and you need to travel further, you can make a type of an Eruv. In order to have this Eruv, you have to have a certain amount of food. So you have to set the amount of food you need for two meals at the place where you wish to make into your legal residence. So essentially, like, if you want to walk outside of your area, what you do is you have one area where you are actually staying, and you put food for two meals in another place, and then that makes that your legal residence, and you can walk. So all foods will combine together to make these two meals. So all foods combined to make the egg volume that it would take to transmit food tuma. And in order to violate carrying on Shabbos, it has to be the amount of a dried fig. So all food will combine to that amount. So even if you have a little bit of pieces of food in your hand, but it combines to the amount of the dried fig, then you would be in violation of carrying on Shabbos. Or for the large date for Yom Kippurim, when you want to know how much you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, it goes by the amount of a large date. So all food would combine to that large date, certainly if it's eaten within a certain amount of time. And the Mishnah continues, Kol amashkim mitzdarfen zo im zo lifsol et hagvia beravias. So what that means is that all beverages combined with one another disqualify one's body from eating truma through basically drinking tamei beverages in the amount of revius. Or for filling of the cheek for Yom Kippurim. When it comes to drinking on Yom Kippurim, the amount goes by how much it would take to fill your cheek. So any liquids, a little bit, let's say one has a little bit of water, a little bit of orange, a little bit of soda, doesn't matter. Even if it's different drinks, if you have all those drinks in a certain amount of time, even if each drink had less than the Mali Lugma, we view it as one act of drinking. That concludes Mishnah 5.